I'm going to title the message this morning, Soul Sleep. Soul Sleep. I think right off the bat, you think to yourself that everybody believes that whenever you die, your spirit leaves your body and goes to either heaven or hell. But everybody don't believe that. There's a very popular preacher that's on Sunday afternoons, and you got to be careful who you listen to. Does everybody in the house know that? And you got to check everybody. I encourage you to check me, check what I tell you out. I don't want you ever to believe anything because I say it. I expect you to search the Scriptures to see whether it's so. I always want you to do that. It's very popular. It's Amazing Facts. Have anybody ever listened to Amazing Facts? It's on Sunday afternoons. The guy's an excellent speaker. Excellent speaker. I like his style. He has a real good style. I like some of his views on prophecy. I think he's right on a lot of his prophecy. But he's a Seventh-day Adventist. And I believe that he'll tell you that. But that is what he is. And that's what he preaches. And the Seventh-day Adventists, along with the Jehovah's Witnesses, do not believe that the spirit departs the body at death. They believe that the spirit stays with the body, the spirit or the soul, stays with the body until the resurrection. So that when someone dies, whether they're saved or lost, their spirit or soul stays here. And then in the grave, they're in an unconscious state, and they remain in that condition until Jesus comes again and there is a resurrection of the just. And then that's when they come to life again at that moment. So he uses a lot of scriptures for it. The main thing that he uses is the fact that many times in the Bible refers to the people when they're died as being asleep. So that was one of the main things. Along with, there's about five or six Psalms that raises the question, can the dead praise thee? Will those that go down to the pit praise thee? And they make the point that people's spirit are unconscious, and so the dead don't praise the Lord, and they use those Psalms as that. They don't praise the Lord on earth anymore, is the meaning of those Psalms. Shows you how important it is to praise God here while you're living. You can't praise God in the congregation of His people here on earth or in His church after you're dead. The time to praise the Lord is when? Now. And that's the idea of those Psalms. I'm not going to go deal with all of those things. So what I'm going to do today is it's going to be a Bible drill. I'm going to tell you right now. And I'm going to give you the Scriptures to prove that soul sleep is nothing but a myth. That it's not biblical, that it is not true. And that's an important thing to me. It should be an important thing for you too, because if you take that away, man, oh man, that takes away from giving people a lot of comfort at someone's funeral that was saved. With a great comfort whenever you're talking to someone at a funeral service that knew Christ is the comfort is that they're with Jesus now. And they're in heaven now. That takes all that away. And it throws it completely away. You don't have that comfort no more. I think it contradicts clear passages of Scripture. What's the authority? This is the authority. This is where you get what you believe. So let's look at the Scriptures to see whether it's so. We should check it out. Do you not agree? I've looked at it. I listened to his sermon on it. I've went on his website and listened to everything he says about it. So I know every bit of what he says. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you what the Bible says concerning soul sleep. So the message is entitled, Does the Soul Sleep? When you die, will your body just remain in the grave with the spirit until the second coming? Is it in an unconscious state? We'll wait that long. Let's see what the Bible says. Luke chapter 23 will be our first text that we're going to look at today. You write these down if you would and look at them and weigh the Scriptures and see whether it's so. You say, well, Jeff, why are you dealing with this? Because there's someone's wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I mean, he can't be right and I'm right. Somebody's wrong. Unless you assume that everybody's right, in which that's an easy position to term, and most people are trying to do that, but you can't. So let's look at it and let's see whether it's so. Luke chapter 23, the Master speaking. Of course, it's a passage that deals with the thief on the cross. In the book of Luke chapter 23, it's something we're all well aware of, so I'm not going to go into great detail with it, but notice what the Lord said. This thief looks over at Christ and he says in verse 42, Lord, remember me when you do what? When you come into your kingdom. He calls upon, he probably felt like he was too bad to go, but he says, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said what? Today. Everybody say today.
Today,
today not 1,000 years from now or 2,000. Yeah, it's available. He could have used 1,000 years. He could have said at the resurrection. He could have said at the second coming. But he said today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, folks, I don't know about you. Then when Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today, that meant that him and that thief both would be in heaven that very day. Both of them died that day. That is crystal clear. They both died. Their spirits left their body. Their bodies was placed in graves. But that day, Jesus and that thief went to paradise. Well, paradise is not heaven. What else would you call heaven? There's an old song I've heard sung. Some people call it heaven. Some people call it paradise. And I call it home. I love that old hymn. And that's exactly the way that it is. But let me show you what paradise is according to the Scriptures. It's the same word is used in the book of 2 Corinthians. I think it is chapter 12. If you would turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 12. If you can't find the text, just get the CD. Or the tape and listen to it, because you can get bogged down in looking and miss a whole message. Matter of fact, it gets irritating. If you can't find it, you'll get there and I'm done. So just get the CD or the tape if you can't find them and you listen to them. I have to find the text here first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul speaking about, I believe, a vision that he had. Notice what it says in verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the what? Everybody say third heaven. He says there are three heavens. Well, if you'll take and look outside, you'll look up and you'll see what? You'll see the sky, that's one. Past the sky is what? Outer space, that's two. And out past there somewhere is heaven, the abode of the Father's house. And we're going to make that trip that quick whenever we die. We're going to make that trip that quick whenever we pass. Okay? Now, the third heaven. The third heaven is the abode of the Father. Third heaven is the Father's house. Now, notice he changed words in verse 3 and 4. And I knew of such a man, whether in the body or verse 3, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into what? Same word. In verse 2, it says he was caught up to the third heaven. And then what's he called the third heaven in verse 4? Paradise. Same Greek word. It's used in Luke chapter 23. Exact same word. No difference. So paradise, Jeremy, is heaven. So when Jesus said today, thou wilt be with me in paradise, you can interchange the word heaven there for that. That day they both went to heaven. That day they both went to paradise. Turn back to Luke chapter 23. That very day, I tell you what, that old thief's life got instantly better whenever he passed. He passed on to be with the Lord. He went to paradise that very day. Luke chapter 23. Verse 46. This is still part of the same point. You be patient with me. Verse 46 says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy what? Into thy hands I commend my spirit. So he realized that he was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to die, and he did, of course, die on the cross. The book of James chapter 2 says, as the body without the spirit is dead. Even so, faith without works is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. You know why the Bible says the body sleeps or describes death as sleeping? Because when you look at a body without a spirit, it's dead. What does it appear to you? Looks just like it's sleeping. And that's the only reason why the Bible uses that description. The soul don't stay there, or the spirit don't stay there. It does not. It's clear it does not. This day you will be with me in paradise. And that's without his deeds. And that's without baptism. That's without the Lord's Supper. And that's without church membership. All those things is important. But those things are not what saves your soul. What saves your soul is faith in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And he says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. And there's a living example of it. And you don't have to be deceived by people or take what the Word of people says. Look at the example. I realize there's a lot of different churches and different religions and they all have their own way. But I'm going to tell you what, there's only one way to heaven, and that's the same way the thief on the cross went, and that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at the example. Look at the example. He left you an example to look at. He don't only tells you, but he gives you an example. So he departed to be with Christ, and he commended his spirit to who? To the Father. His spirit left his body when he died. The moment he died on the cross, it left his body, and it departed to be with Christ, or to be with his Father. And so did the thieves. In the book of Acts chapter 7, I'm not going to turn there, but you can look this up. The first, one of the first deacons, Stephen, who was also a preacher, he was stoned to death for the cause of Christ. He was being stoned, and old Stephen, before he died, the Lord gave him a glimpse of glory. Could you imagine? And Stephen cries out and said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." And, you know, usually when you read about Jesus after his ascension, Jesus is always seated. Always. But in this case, here was one of his children. They were getting ready to pass. And the picture is Jesus is standing, waiting to receive him. And before Stephen died, the Bible says in Acts 7 that he says, "Father, same thing to you, unto thy hands I commend my..." Why did he commend his spirit to the Father's hands? Because his spirit was leaving his body. And that's what death is your spirit leaves your body, it departs. And of course, in Stephen's case, in the thief's case, and in the case of certainly of the Messiah, their spirit went to be with God. It went to heaven. It went to paradise. What it teaches, it didn't say that the Spirit stays. Why would you commend the Spirit to the Father if it just stays there in a dormant, unconscious state? The reason why you commit it to the Father's hands, because that's where it's going. But the book of Ecclesiastes says the same thing. Spirit returns to the Lord that gave it. All God's people said. Philippians chapter 1 now is the text I preached from. You know, I got about 8 passages. Y'all got all day? Now, I'm going to do enough to prove it. I could shut down right now, but I'm not. But I think that what I just showed you is enough. Now, I just think that contradicts everything that is said. It's important to me to think and to know from Scripture that when a saved person dies, their soul departs to be with Christ. That's important to me. Is that important to you? It means a whole lot to me to think that my grandparents and uncles and people in my family knew Christ is with Jesus right now. Does that mean a lot to you? And to have that challenge bothers me, and actually to watch the fellow mock people that believe what I believe irritated me. I shouldn't have watched the video. And some of the things were said really did offend me, which is fine. But which prompted me to look at the proof from where? What does the Scriptures teach? What does the Scriptures teach? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what it says. Verse 23 says, "I'm in a strait between two." Paul was in jail. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And he was in a strait between two. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of strait. He didn't know whether he wanted to go ahead and die and to be with Christ or he wanted to stay. He was in a strait. It's kind of a wrestling between the two. We do kind of do that. I would dearly love to see my Messiah. I'd like to be with Christ. I'd like to be in heaven. Would you not? But at the same time, I'd like to stay around and preach more and see more people saved. And see, I'm kind of in a what? In a strait. I don't know. Everybody understand what he's talking about? Oh, heaven's such a glorious place. I mean, it's just... And to think who's there, it just... Sometimes you kind of... You know, you don't know what you want to choose. That's what Paul's speaking of. I'm in a strait between two, and he has a desire to what? Depart. Everybody say depart. That means it's talking about his spirit. His spirit was going to depart. It wasn't going to remain in his body. in an unconscious state. It was going to depart. And the moment you pass, your spirit departs. Okay? Now notice what else is this. Departs to be with Christ, which is far better. Not a little better. Far better. One of the things I say sometimes at a funeral service when the person was saved, certainly can't say this about someone that's lost, is I can look at their family and say, hey, we realize you miss your loved one, but they're far better off than we are. You know why they're far better off? Because they're with Christ. Did you realize to be in heaven with Christ is far better than being in a body here on this earth? To be with Christ in heaven is far better than being in an aging body on this earth. Oh, God's people say it. Far, not a little better, far better. My Uncle John Arthur and Aunt Prunty are far better off today than they was when they was here. Far better off than the last time that I saw them. Reba Hackett, still got her picture in the back. I wouldn't take it down for nothing. I miss her. She's far better off today than she was last time I saw her. Do you see what I mean? Now, you know why they're far better off? Because to depart is to be with Christ. Now, he went on to say in the same text in the book of Philippians chapter 1, he says in verse 21, a text we preached from not long ago, for me to live is Christ and to die is... How could death be a gain if you go sleep in the grave for 1,000 years? How would that be a gain for you? You know the reason why Paul said that death was a gain? Because he realized the moment that his spirit left his body, it departed to be with Christ in paradise. That's why death is a gain. If it's a soul sleep, it's not a gain. Because it's going to a grave in an unconscious state to rest until the resurrection. The only way death can be a gain, to be a joyful thing, is if the body departs to be with Christ. He links all that together. Everybody see that? Says the body departs, doesn't say it sleeps. Says it continues on. 2 Corinthians 5:8, you don't have to turn to that one, we can quote that one. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Oh, God's people say it. Now, I listened to his argument against that, and I thought it was pretty good because it was so strained. I mean, it's a natural thing in the world to say absent from the body is when you do what? It's when you die. We don't seem to describe death described as a departure. Depart was to be with Christ. Depart to be with Christ. Absent from the body, is that not the same thing? Your spirit leaves your body. The body without the spirit is dead. This is why Jesus said, Lord, into thy hands I commend my... It was going to leave. It wasn't going to stay there. It wasn't going to be in an unconscious state. It was going to go to paradise. It was going to go to be with Christ. That's why Stephen commended to the Lord his spirit. And if I'm conscious before I die, I'll do the same. The Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit before I pass. See? It's not in an unconscious state. 2 Corinthians 5:8 again says, absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. In other words, when your spirit departs, it goes to be with Christ. That changes the whole way you look at dying. If you're saved. That's a horrible thing, folks, without Christ. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing without Christ. If you're here this morning, your family, if you're saved, your family needs to know it. Hardest thing for me as a pastor, the hardest thing, is when somebody's family comes and say, Jeff, do you think Mom was okay? Jeff, do you think my dad's all right? And then I look and say, I don't know, because they never said anything. Greatest thing you can leave behind is not your car. or your bank account, or a piece of property. The greatest thing you can leave behind is the knowledge that you've trusted Christ and you have victory over the grave, because that's what carries your family when that time comes. Does your family know that you're saved? Do they know that it is well with your soul? Do they know that? Or do you not know that either? Do you think you're saved this morning, or do you know you're saved beyond the shadow of any doubt? Listen to me. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't wish I might go. I know I'm going. I know that if I would die in the next 3 minutes, the moment I shut my eyes in this life, I'll be beholding my Lord. I don't wish, hope, or think it. I know it. And when you take to put me in the ground, you sing victory in Jesus. Don't you sing old sad songs at my service. It's a celebration service. Can that be said of you? Do you know you're saved? And does your family know? Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Psalm chapter 90 says the days of man are 70. At 70 years is the average. Now some live a little bit more, but that's the average lifespan. But Psalm 90 says it is soon over and we fly away. Old hymn, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Fly away where? You don't stay in the body in an unconscious state. You fly away. Your spirit departs, absent from the body. And if you know Christ, it goes to be with Him. Oh, God's people say it. Matthew chapter 22. Y'all mind this little Bible drill this morning? Hope you don't. Matthew chapter 22. I never did tell you what he said about 2 Corinthians 5:8, did I? I was going to. What'd I do? Just forget? I get excited. I do. Just get tore up and I just forget what I'm doing, I guess, or what I was going to say. He says, 2 Corinthians 5:8, that your next conscious thought will be the resurrection. Use the illustration of the dentist chair. You know, when they go pull your tooth and they put you to sleep. You know, that goes by that bit. You know, you ever get a tooth pulled? That's his illustration for that. He said, next conscious thought will be the resurrection. Even though it's 10,000 years, it might be, next conscious thought will be the resurrection. That's what he says about that. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 23 says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asking, Master Moses said, if a man die and have no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there was with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second, and the third, and all the way up to the seventh, and the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the 7? For they all had her. This woman had been married 7 times, and the Sadducees, you see, didn't believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees didn't. Not only did they not believe in a resurrection, but they didn't believe in angels, and they didn't believe in a soul. Very similar, you know, to the view that souls sleep, but they didn't believe a person had a soul, period. It's worse, even worse. Okay? If you want to know what the Sadducees held to, Acts 23:8 gives you those three things. They don't believe, Acts 23:8, they don't believe in a resurrection, they didn't believe in angels, nor do they believe in the Spirit. And Jesus is going to handle two of those arguments in his text. Okay? Verse 29, Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Well, probably, and you slapped them right across the face. You don't know the Scriptures, he says. They thought that was their pride and glory. Was the Scriptures, and Jesus' first thing said, you don't know the Scriptures. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. There's no marriage in heaven. See, when you marry, it is till death do you part. So there is no marriage in heaven. That's what it says. Nor are given in marriage, but are the angels in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God, quotes Exodus, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the what? I thought surely someone would holler on that one. God of the living. Abraham, Tim, he'd been dead over 1,000 years. And he says, now boys, have you ever read in the book of Exodus? He said, I am the God. I didn't used to be the God of Abraham until he died. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. They were still living. Not here on this earth in a body, but they were with the Father in heaven. I think that's awesome. So not only was he slapping them about their unbelief on the resurrection, but their unbelief in the soul. They're still living. God's still the God of my grandparents. He's still the God of my uncles and aunts. Because they're still living. Just in a whole lot better place. Oh, God, see what's said. So, Matthew chapter 17. I wasn't going to use this one, but I throwed it in there because when I listened to the video, he struggled in answering this question bad. He had a real hard time with this. And the only answer he had to this, what I'm giving you now, is that this was an exception. An exception. Folks, in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to look at it not long. The book of Deuteronomy has been awesome on Wednesdays. We've had some awesome times. Moses died. Does everybody in the house know that? Physically died. Deuteronomy 32, the Lord told him to go up to a mountain. He says, and there, always look at it. I'm not in no rush. I want to show you this because I want you to mark it. I can read it better if we look at it. If you can't find it, then continue to do what I told you in the beginning. Just listen and get the CD or tape. Deuteronomy 32, verse 48. The Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, get thee up to the mountain of Abiram and to Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Old Moses, you know, he's sinned in the last year of his life, 120 years. He's 120 years old now. And he wanted to see the promised land. He couldn't go in. The Lord said, no, you're not going in, but I'm going to let you see it. You go up that high mountain, and you're going to get to view it. Now, I used to feel sorry for him. I thought, well, he didn't get to go in. Well, that was, you know, been great to be able to, at your life's end, you know, you've been traveling for 40 years there and get to go. But you know, instead of going there, the Lord took him right on to heaven. And I ain't felt sorry for him since. Which is the greater promised land to go to anyway. I'm not going to let you go in, but I'll let you see it. Verse 50 said, then you'll die on the mount, whether they'll go or stuff. You're going to die there. And be gathered until your what? You'll leave your people on this side and you'll go to be with your people on the other side. As Aaron thy brother died in Mount Or and was gathered unto his people. Chapter 34. Verse 1, and Moses went from the plains of Moab to the mountain Nebo, to the mount of Pisgah. You ever sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? It says, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights I view my home and take my flight. That's based on the mount where Moses hit the mount. He viewed the promised land. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. And I have caused thee to see it with your eyes. I'd like to see that old man's face when he's seen it, wouldn't you? You got to stand up on the mountain and look over it. Verse 5 says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. And he buried him. He did what? He buried him. God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab. Matthew chapter 17. Moses died. So that means then that his spirit stayed in his body in an unconscious state, according to soul sleep. I'm telling you, Moses just departed to be with the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 17, you see Moses again. Verse 1 says, after 6 days, Jesus, Matthew 17, 1, and after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up to a high mountain, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and raiment was white as the light. When you look at the Lord when he was here, Gary, he looked just like a normal Jew. He didn't have a little holy glow behind his head like the pictures have of him. He looked just like your typical Galilean Jew. But he went up, they took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Trent, and he was transfigured. In other words, he let all of his glory shine through who he really was. Which is what Jesus looks like in heaven. According to the book of Revelations, in all of his glory. We shall behold him in all of his glory. And notice there's two heavenly visitors appeared with him there that day. And one of them, it says, and there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah and talked with him. Now, Luke 9:31 said they spoke of his decease or his death, his upcoming death. You say, well, Moses, Elijah knowed about his upcoming death? Well, of course they did. That's why they're in heaven. He saved them based on the coming atonement of Christ. Who was there? Elijah, really, we don't have no issue with Elijah because Elijah never died. He was taken to, according to the book of Kings, he was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. I believe it because the scripture says he went to heaven. He didn't go to a prison house. He went to heaven because Jesus pardoned his sin based on the coming atonement of Christ. Can God do that? Yes. I think Satan accused the brethren in the Old Testament because of that. But it didn't stop God from taking them to glory. If it took Elijah, he could take everybody else. But there stands Moses. Now, I can't explain that to you. I don't know how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. It doesn't tell us. I just know it says. Here's all I know, Jimmy. It says Moses and Elijah was there. But I can tell you something. His answer to that was that Jesus appeared to him. He said this was Jewish tradition. Jesus appeared to Moses, or about 4 days after Moses died, Jesus appeared there and resurrected his body. That's not true. First of all, you don't have no scripture that teaches that. That's fabricated. 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. You say, Jesus wasn't the first to resurrect? No. Lazarus resurrected. Elijah resurrected somebody in the book of Kings. Widow of Nain's son was resurrected. Synagogue leader's daughter was resurrected. But they all died again. Jesus Christ, folks, was the first to resurrect, never to die again. Jesus was the first. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. There's no one that's been resurrected to a new body. And to say Moses had a resurrected body is not true. That would contradict 1 Corinthians. That's a clear contradiction. So what he had or some kind of prayer, they knew it was Moses. I don't know how, but I know one thing. He wasn't resurrected. That ain't even what I'm trying to deal with anyway. He was still living. He wasn't in a dead, conscious, unconscious state. He's standing there he's on the mount with Christ. He wasn't in a tomb somewhere awaiting the resurrection. He was living, is the point. It's clear. Well, it looked like he was a flop, didn't he? He could have been prince over all of Egypt, but the book of Hebrews 11 said, by faith, he forsook all of Egypt and the riches of it, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Man, people make the decision of Moses would say, boy, he was a flop. He could have had it all. He couldn't have had paradise.
Right.
2,000 years now, old Pharaoh had been in hell. And for 2,000 years now, old Moses had been with Christ. Still living. Still living. Not in an unconscious state. Luke chapter 16. I'm not going to turn there because I've got to get one more in. I'm not wearing you out this morning. This should thrill your soul. I'm just giving you proof. When you die, you depart. You're not in an unconscious state. In the book of Luke chapter 16, we're told of a rich man and Lazarus. And it says that the rich man was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus was laid at his gate, filled with sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And Scripture says that it came to pass in process of time that they both die. Lazarus dies and the rich man dies. They die on the same day, but they had two different destinations. It says the rich man died and was buried. And then the very next verse in Luke 16 says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's not an unconscious state. He was buried. His body went to the grave, but his spirit went to hell, where it'll be, where it will be, until the second resurrection of the unjust, and it will get a body, stand before Christ and be judged, and be casted both soul and body in the Gehenna forever. Matthew 10 says, fear him, fear them not that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. See, don't die, nor does it go to sleep either. Fear not him that is able to kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to take both body and soul and cast it into Gehenna. Eternal hell. Both Lazarus and the rich man, after they died, were still living. They parted to two different places, but they were still living. Because the soul does not sleep. Last text, we'll look at this and we'll stop. I didn't hear an old good, did I? 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13 says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? There it says asleep. That's where they have the big problem with the word asleep is used many times. We've done made it crystal clear. The Scriptures makes it crystal clear that the soul does not sleep. The body without the spirit is dead, and the body without the spirit appears to be what? Sleeping. That's why it says the term sleep. It's talking about the dead body. It's not talking about the soul. It's clear the soul moves, leaves, departs. That you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. Oh, there's a hopeless sorrow, and then there's a sorrow with hope. Done a lot of funerals over the years, and I've seen sorrow from people that had saved parents and saved children, and I've seen sorrow in their face, but I've seen what? The expectation that they're going to see them again. It carries you. Then I've seen a sorrow without hope. That'll keep you up at nights to see people that sorrow that way. Because there's no expectation of seeing them again. You can't say they're in a better place. You can't say they're with Christ. And the thought of those things, where they might be, drives them crazy. I pray that your passing will be a sorrow with hope. And I pray that I, as a pastor, can look at your loved one and say, yes, they told me that they had trusted the blood of Christ. And I pray that I'm not able to look at your loved ones and say, I don't know. Hardest part of this job they are in the world. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus did what? Died and rose again. What is that? That's the gospel. That's the key to heaven right there. You got to believe. You got to trust that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus, will God do what? He's going to bring them back with Him. You know why He's bringing you? Hey, you know where Jesus is at today? He ascended to the right hand of the Father on high. And when He comes back, He's bringing them with Him. You know why He's bringing them with Him? Because they're there now. Amen. All of them. The whole bunch. The whole tribe. All of Israel. Bring them all back. Won't that be awesome? He's going to resurrect their body. And they're going to get a body. Now, they don't have a body now. They're there in spirit. They're going to get a body at the second coming. New resurrected body that don't get old, don't get sick, and don't ever die. And then we'll be caught up in the clouds with them. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be real quick.